This is the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Getting schooled. Public education in South Florida. It is back to school for thousands, hundreds of thousands of kids, their parents, their guardians, and teachers, of course, across South Florida. Sammy Mack is along with me today.
So about one out of every 17 public school kids in Florida attends a charter school. There are more than 500 throughout the state, including more than a dozen in Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties that are managed by Charter Schools USA.
Yeah, one of those schools, Sammy, is Aventura City of Excellence School, obviously in Aventura in North Dade County. This is where I met Charter Schools CEO John Hage last week, as that school, like all of them, were getting ready for the new year. Walking the hallway with Hage and Principal Julie Alm. This charter school looks and sounds like a school building. The wide hallway, the bright overhead lights, cheerful colors. It should. After all, the building was built to be a school. It opened 11 years ago as a charter school, and Principal Alm has been there since the beginning.
Two kindergarten classrooms. We have six classrooms at each grade level, kinder through fifth grade. And then we have, of course, our middle school program from sixth to eighth grade.
Teachers were in their classrooms late last week when we visited, hanging borders around their bulletin boards, arranging supplies for the students, getting ready generally for the first day of class, and checking their classroom technology. It makes sense because, after all, technology is one of the areas that the charter school focuses its energies and financial resources on.
All of our classrooms have smart boards, document readers, in-house TV. In the middle school, we just recently got some Sharp TVs, so technology is very rich.
996 students are signed up for Aventura City of Excellence School this year, kindergarten through eighth grade. There are more than 1,000 more who want to go to school there. They're on the wait list. Kids living in Aventura get preference when there is an open desk. During our walk through the hallway, we ran into the school's music director, Philip Lakowski. He was in the hallway, putting the finishing touches on a bulletin board that he described as part of his Common Core curriculum.
So describe to me how this fits into to your Common Core.
Well, the first thing you're seeing is a map of the United States. Obviously, you'd study that in geography, but we're going to be talking about math because we're going to talk about the ratios of how big things are to the, how to figure the scale. But we're also going to talk about songs from each of these places. The song Route 66, we're getting that into the picture.
Well, if you ever plan to go to West, take my way. It's the highway, that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66.
And we're just trying to show how music fits into everything that we do, and also how music gives back to everything we do. They'll be able to learn a little about all the states just by singing the songs about them.
We head back to the principal's office to talk with the CEO of the company behind Aventura City of Excellence School, John Hage.
You've got essentially a management agreement to help manage the resources of this school. You were paid just over $300,000 in fees last year. This school year, you'll be paid $279,000. What does the school get for that money?
We work for the city here. So the city looks to us to provide efficiencies around hiring. So we do all the hiring. We do all the HR. We support financials. So we provide payroll services. We also provide a lot of curriculum and training support around the educational model.
$279,000 in management fees your firm will collect this year from the city, paid for by tax dollars, taxes, taxpayers throughout the state of Florida. Mm-hmm. What are they getting in return that they otherwise wouldn't if this were a normal public school run by Miami-Dade County Public Schools?
Fair question. So if you had to take in-house those costs, if you had to bring in an HR person to help you with hiring, if you had to bring in the payroll people, the accounting people, the curriculum support, and those kind of people, it could easily cost $300,000, $400,000, $500,000. The benefit is being a part of a bigger network. So what we do is we're able to share those costs across a lot of schools.
So the question becomes accountability about this between elected local officials that would be running the school board and making those kinds of financial decisions, or a private corporation, a for-profit corporation that is scattered to some degree here in Florida, the state of Indiana, Illinois, and other locations throughout the country.
Yeah, I think accountability actually benefits this model. And let me give you an example. In a traditional school system, you have one elected school board, right? That school board has to oversee, in the case of Dade County, hundreds of schools, tens of thousands of employees, and even hundreds of thousands of students. In this case, you have one board for this school. In that board, you have elected members. You have the city of Aventura, who are elected to oversee not only the city, but in this case, this school. Then they hire someone like me to help administrate and support that school, bring in professional services, and do so at a competitive bid process. And then what you have is you have parents in this school making a decision to either go to this school or not. And they're voting with their kids literally every day. Do I go back to Aventura or do I not go back to Aventura Charter School of Excellence? And I think what that means is that the accountability for us is literally at a very local level. Here I have one budget for one school where we're looking at each dollar. Do we buy that computer or do we put it in teacher pay or do we put it into these books? Where do we put those resources is really important.
Is Charter Schools USA involved with allocating that budget dollar? I mean, this was a school that had revenues of $7.3 million in last school year, $6.5 million that came from state taxpayers.
Well, the first thing is that our fee is set and it's locked in. So we don't make more or less based on any budgetary decision. So there's no incentive for us to say, hey, let's make sure that we don't spend money here. Somehow it's going to benefit us. No matter what the budget is, whether there's a surplus or there's a deficit, our fee is set based on performance each year, which has criteria. So we have to hit academic standards, financial outcomes, those kind of things. Secondly, what happens in the room is this. The resources that are allocated, which are usually limited, right? $6,300 in Florida is low. I just got back from Louisiana. We have four schools out there. They're getting about $9,500 a kid in Louisiana, okay? Florida's reimbursement rates are low. They should be higher, in my opinion. I think it's a low reimbursement state. The way that I see it working is at the ground floor level, teachers are looking at their use of limited resources and the best outcome for kids. And if they're getting results using a software that we know costs X amount of money, then that's going to be at the high end of the reimbursement rate, and let's invest there. If you're not getting results there, the change in the budget is very quick. It's almost immediate. In other words, you'll say, look, we didn't get results there last year. We know that teachers aren't using this software. Let's not go back and buy it next year. And by the way, we need to put that into this other program that we do know works.
But is that a Charter Schools USA decision that's being made at that level with the management fee?
No, it isn't. It's made with the board, but mostly at the teacher and principal level.
The way you lay it out, your management fee is fixed. So yes. You need to manage your internal costs, yes. Not your external costs. Is that fair to say?
Right. In other words, we're focused on making sure that if we get a small fee, in this case, this school pays, relatively small fee for the size of the school, is that what happens is we take those resources, put it into the overall bucket, and make sure I have enough people to support it, just like any other enterprise would.
John, let me ask you, as you've built this company and continued to grow Charter Schools USA, who's your customer?
So the customer is the parent, first and foremost. They're not the only customer, but they're the first customer in my mind. Student is at the end of the day, the service we're providing is to make sure we have highly educated citizens that can give back to society. They can do more than just learn. They've got to be good, productive citizens. So we do a lot around character education.
Who is your competitor? Who do you consider your competition?
I think every school is in a friendly competitive position. I don't think it has to be an ugly competitive position, but I have to be honest about it. The fact of the matter is, when you have a choice program, people are competing for those students to come to their school. There's definitely some dislocation. There's definitely some failure. There's definitely going to be some downside to change. I'll never sit here and whitewash it and say, hey, wow, charter schools are the end-all, be-all. Every charter school is great. It's just not true, right? There are some great ones, and there's some really bad ones, and they need to be shut down.
Public schools may be having a different standard because they are public, because the greater community sees that there's no profit motive at play.
If you ever talk to the parents, they'll actually say, we don't care. You know what they care about? Do I have a great school? What they want to know is, are they getting a high-quality product? Is the student the center of the enterprise value, or is it something else? The charter model is competing with everyone and itself.
Many leaders whom we've spoken to on this radio program, and I asked them about the quality of the local workforce, and they'll say that it's lacking. And that's in manufacturing, it's in service industry, it's in hospitality, almost across the board. What's your response back to that local business leader who is looking to grow the local economy, looking for local hires, but winds up having to bring people from outside in?
So I would hope that they would see the innovation as a good thing in this charter K-12 world, that this is a way to actually drive higher quality employees eventually. It takes time.
Hage may be familiar for those following education in Florida. He was the director of research for Governor Jeb Bush's Foundation for Florida's Future, helping shape the original charter school law in the state.